This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. China in space. Bob Zimmerman is here. Bob Zimmerman keeps the website Behind the Black. This is happy birthday, Bob Zimmerman. Your donations, your subscriptions are most welcome because as we go forward with commercial space, the parallel story is big space in China, big space in Russia. There is a new space race, or as Bob characterizes it, new colonialism. China's a big piece of that story. It's non-transparent. The Chinese are now telling us their ambitions. Bob, happy birthday month. It's February, and your fundraising will go accordingly. However, your attention to China is vital here because we do not get much attention in the American media, dominated, of course, by concerns in other parts of the world and domestic concerns. What is China's big picture? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening. Now, well, China released what they call a white paper, and they call it a 2021 perspective. And this was from China itself. And it basically outlined, first it outlined their considerable successes and advancement in the aerospace sector since 2016. They have pretty much come out of nowhere in the last 5 years to be one of the dominant space-faring nations in the world. There's no doubt about that. They dominate, or at least they are a major player, and they've led in launches the last 2 years, and there's no question they're going to still be important later on. And that outlined their successes, which are many. You know, they've landed probes on the moon and Mars. They brought back samples from the moon. They're building the space station. They've established a whole bunch of different satellite and broadcasting capabilities in orbit. But this white paper had what it says they're going to do is what's really significant. And there are three areas of greatest importance to us. One is they're going to continue to accelerate that manned and planetary program. They're going to finish the space station. They're going to launch an optical telescope comparable or maybe even better than Hubble. And they're going to continue missions to Moon and Mars, and including sample missions to the Mars and the asteroids. But that's the first thing. That's the stuff we kind of all assume. Secondly, they say they're going to continue their approach to independent commercial aerospace, which is they are encouraging private, and I call them pseudo-private companies, to raise funds and then compete for contracts from the Chinese government. However, this policy paper very clearly makes it clear that China is not letting independent companies forming, but it is the government is coordinating, I'm quoting here, coordinating all relevant activities under an overall plan. And the policy also states, quote, it will establish a negative list of for market access to space activities to ensure fair competition and orderly entry and exit of participating enterprises. In other words, if you don't do what they say, they will blackball you. They'll shut you down. So these aren't independent companies. These are companies who are doing what the Chinese government wants and only what the Chinese government wants. So that's how their aerospace company system is going to work. Now, obviously, there's some brains here because they are trying to establish competition, which is very valuable. It's something that the Russians have failed to do, and that's why the Russians are failing. And maybe that's why the Chinese are succeeding. But they are still doing it under government control entirely.
And the third. A paragraph, Bob, for China's presentation. They use the term peaceful purposes, peaceful purposes. That's repeated throughout the paper. What is your measure of their peaceful purposes? I recall immediately the anti-satellite test of what, more than a 10 years ago, that still has debris floating around in near-Earth orbit.
A peaceful cooperation or peaceful proposals suggests that you recognize that other people can exist and have their space. And that's not the Chinese. The Chinese are doing this to dominate space, period. They are going to try. They are going to defy the Outer Space Treaty. They're going to own whatever they take in space. They're going to control it. They're not going to let anyone else in. There's no doubt about this. They are, and the third part of their white paper clarifies this very much so. They point out they want to influence international law to limit private enterprise and private property. Their goal is to get to make the UN the central controlling factor, and to do so under laws and treaties that have been proposed but not really accepted that would basically outlaw private enterprise. And they want to do it because they want to have top-down control so that they control everything. So are they peaceful? Well, they might not start a war offhand, but if they don't get what they want in space, they're going to use force to maintain their position. And that's really clearly the case. So I think to ignore this white paper and these facts about China is really to is going to be very foolish, and it's going to likely allow China to control the heavens for decades, if not centuries. And now, whether or not the Western powers will do this and pay attention to this and challenge the Chinese, I haven't the faintest idea right now, John, but that's at least what the Chinese want to do.
Let's go to an operational Chinese effort. Space plane. What is it, Bob? How is it different from what we have?
Well, there was a story about one of these pseudo private companies in China called Space Transportation announcing that it is raised about $46 million to build a hypersonic space plane. They've done a whole range of tests, some flight tests, testing the prototypes of this vehicle for the eventual goal of doing commercial point-to-point transportation for both space tourism and cargo and people, targeting a launch as soon as 24. And what struck me about this is that this is hypersonic, which means, you know, it's using the air in the atmosphere. You don't have to carry the oxygen, and therefore you can go much faster. And it's been used, talked about as a military technology. And, you know, in the last 6 months, the military in the U.S. has used anonymous and, mostly anonymous sources to claim that China has this gigantic super-duper hypersonic military test program. I actually think what they've been doing now, our military has been using this particular company in China's hypersonic tests for commercial uses to gin up funding for their military space program. That's what I think is the case. How real is this hypersonic space plane this Chinese company wants to do? It's not unreasonable. There is a British company that's trying to do the same thing called Skylon. And so it's very possible and very likely it's using technology that the Chinese military has been developing. So there's no doubt there's some indications China has hypersonic technology for both commercial and military purposes. But I do think this is the source of that exaggerated Chinese threat.
Let's go to a necessary, transparent proposal for 2022 from SpaceX. Why transparent? Because they raise capital in the markets and they must be completely clear about their ambitions. What is the expectation, Bob, for SpaceX?
Well, when I was putting together my global predictions for next year in the launch industry, I had come up with a number of about 40 SpaceX launches in 22, which would be a record and it would be spectacular. But according to some NASA officials, SpaceX is actually hoping to complete as many as 52 launches in 22. That's a pace of one per week. And I must tell you, in January, they did four. That's one per week. And so that's 52 launches. That would actually be about the same number of launches that the entire world achieved in around 2004 and 2005. I think actually it's very possible. I mean, SpaceX, for one thing, they might want to get a lot of Starlink satellites into orbit as quickly as possible. And because Starship is being blocked, and Musk very much wanted to use Starship to quickly start launching Starlink satellites, they might have decided to up the pace of launches using Falcon 9. Secondly, because most of their rocket is reused, they have a much greater launch capacity than most rocket companies. They don't have to rebuild everything after each launch. They can reuse that first stage 10 times, and they've been cycling them through in less than a few months each time. And so they could do this very easily. And so I think that's very possible, John, and it's quite spectacular if it happens.
What is Astra Space and what is a CubeSat?
Well, CubeSats are tiny standardized satellites that were developed by the university community about 30 years ago, and universities use them to train students on how to build satellites. Well, Astra is a startup rocket company, small sat rocket company, made a small rocket for the purposes of launching CubeSats. They're one of the few, one of the many of these startups that are trying to get going, and it's the third that's managed to reach orbit. Well, its first operational satellite launch has now been scheduled for February 5th. It's going to launch four CubeSats for NASA, and those CubeSats are actually for universities. They're all university projects, essentially, where students built the satellites. NASA acted as the go-between to get the launch, and this will be the first operational launch of Astra, and if it does that, it will join Rocket Lab and Virgin Orbit as another commercial company who can launch CubeSats for universities and others, and that's quite exciting. So February 1st, we start, it goes up.
February 5th, ABL Space RSI Rocket Explosion. What is ABL Space?
That's another startup. This is just like Astra and Rocket Lab and Virgin Orbit. They haven't launched yet. They were hoping to launch by the end of last year. They got delayed. They were hoping to launch in January. They had a test explosion during a static fire test of the engine for their RS-1 rocket in January last week. And they've now announced that failure during a static fire test is going to delay their first launch by 3 months. That's not very much, actually. So they're hoping right now to get their first test launch of their rocket launching from Alaska sometime in May. And so we'll have to see what happens. But this is one of, I would say, six or seven companies that have announced they're going to do their first operational launches, rocket companies, in 2022. And so we'll see how many succeed. Last year we had about seven, and only two succeeded. So this year we might see
there's
more.
So many, Bob. We need a scorecard. There's so many startups.
Well, I've got them, but I don't publish it necessarily. It's not necessarily that interesting to read.
The ABL test explosion, and now we move to a mystery. Coast Guard investigating off of Boca Chica. Why?
No, this isn't off of Boca Chica, John. This is off of Florida. SpaceX was trying to do a launch of an Italian military slash civilian spy satellite, and it tried 5 days in a row. The first 3 days they had a scrub because of weather. But the fourth day, on Sunday, they were all ready to launch. They got within 30 seconds of launch, and they had to scrub the launch again because this time a Royal Caribbean cruise ship, Harmony of the Seas, had violated the exclusion zone in the Atlantic near Kennedy. It had moved into that range, and the range officer canceled the launch because you can't launch when there's someone in that exclusion zone. And so now the Coast Guard has started an investigation of why that cruise ship violated the cruise zone. Now, these investigations are somewhat routine, but usually when someone violates the exclusion zone, a ship or boat, it's usually a small boat or it's a small plane. This was a big deal. This is a big cruise ship. And so they're going to look into how this happened. Cruise ships should know better and not do such a thing. Unfortunately, the cruise industry is suffering because of the Wuhan flu panic, and so they are desperate to get cruises going again, and that might be a contributing factor. We'll see how that plays out, John.
SLS, the long way for SLS continues. The James Webb Telescope is in orbit, it's deployed, and it won the contest but lost the contest. Remember, the winner was going to be the last to launch. That is SLS. But now there's more trouble with SLS delays. The second SLS mobile launch tower. What's the significance here, Bob?
Well, first of all, NASA decided it would reconfigure the mobile launch tower. That's the thing that moves the rocket from the vehicular assembly building, the VAB, to the launch pad. And it includes the launch tower. And so they spent about $1 billion reconfiguring the mobile launcher that had been used for the shuttle so that it could be used for SLS. But the reconfiguration for $1 billion that they did was for a configuration of SLS that they're only going to use one or two times. And so then NASA's going to abandon that mobile launch tower, and it has funded about $400 million to build a second launch tower to be used by the later iteration of SLS, should it launch. And so that's about $400 billion. They've signed a company to do it. It started operations. And last week, NASA's admitted that that company is experiencing, quote, performance issues associated with underestimating the complexity of the project and some supplier-related issues as well. Close quote. So in other words, they were delayed on the first mobile launcher and it went over budget. And guess what? They're going to be delayed and go over budget on the second mobile launcher. And the whole cost is going to be at least $1.4 billion for these two towers. SpaceX builds Falcon Heavy and is probably building Starship for considerably less, John.
Yes, it's $383 million was the estimate for the second tower. Bechtel is the corporation. Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Beyond the Black. This is Happy Birthday Month. Bob Zimmerman, your subscriptions, your donations are most welcome. We're going exploring next. In fact, we're heading to the moon. Two prospects to head to the moon. And then, for a treat, we're going to see an image of Starship Enterprise in deep space. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.